Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, good morning. Rise and shine. You're on with the Due Time with Pastor Steph. How are you this morning? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you yesterday? Yesterday we had a good time over here on his Due Time with Pastor Steph, as it was Let's Talk About It Tuesday Church Folk Day. We got to talking about the status that took place in the Bronx on Father's Day. Well, we don't know what happened. All we know is that Dad showed up at his son's too. Their apartment that they shared in the Bronx at 8:30 a.m. with his lady friend. And next thing we knew, that there was some level of altercation and Dad got stabbed with a pencil. Yeah. And he kind of parlayed in the park for the day, displaying his war tag. Yep, telling everybody that's what he got for Father's Day. We also talked about that knucklehead bodybuilder who had been receiving Social Security disability benefit. And, you know, he claimed that he couldn't walk for more than 30 minutes and for more than 20 minutes, something to that effect. And they caught him on his wife's Instagram page pumping iron in some kind of bodybuilding competition. Now, come on now. Come on. You got to do better than that. You got to think. Well, what about the Florida man who went to purchase his drugs and, you know, his get high wasn't where he thought it should be. So he decided to call 911 and tell them about his dilemma. And he ended up being arrested and put on probation and mandated not to get high or he would have to face the court. Yeah, and go for a drug possession trial. Do these people even think? Well, we still got more news to go over. The gentleman who was at work and had been teased about, you know, the people who had been, by the people on the job, you know, that someone else was getting with his wife. Yes. Yeah, that was a rumor on the job that his wife was having an affair with a coworker. And one day while he was sitting down eating his tacos, he got to thinking and his body started feeling a little weird. And before you know it, He was up with a pipe beating this said co-worker. Oh, my goodness gracious, and ended up beating him to death. Well, come to find out, when the reporters actually spoke to the wife, she really wasn't a wife. No, she was a girlfriend who had been a girlfriend for only 3 months. And they weren't together anymore. And she left him because he had a bad temper. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know. You know, it depends on what you think about the relationship, I suppose. And last but not least, the thief who went into the TD Bank and, you know, to withdraw a couple of dollars. And he withdrew a whole lot more than a couple of dollars, and it wasn't with his ATM card either. Oh, the ATM machine door had been left open. And before you know it, he took two stacks, two sleeves, they say, of money out of the machine and got away with $200,000. And, you know, I put the question out there, you know, had it been you, would you have done this? And, you know, kind of said, it was the Lord who was looking out for me when I walked up in this place. And the machine had just, I mean, it was open. What was the likelihood that it would be me who would walk in the, you know, in the ATM and find the ATM machine available? Yeah, you know how we do as church folk. Well, that launched our church folk question. And oh my, oh my, oh my, you know, how do we come up with this kind of stuff? You know, where the Lord blessed me. And if, you know, it had to be the Lord, because if it wasn't the Lord, then, you know, that wouldn't have happened, or this wouldn't have happened. And, you know, if the Lord knew my rent needed to be paid, and, you know, why couldn't the Lord bless me like that? Oh, yeah, you definitely get that stuff. And it kind of branched into, you know, another conversation about her Boaz. You know, she knows that this is her husband because the Lord then told her so. And even Pastor KF had a story to tell that, yeah, that somebody been looking for him after 20 years because the Lord told her that Pastor KL was her husband. Yeah, even made a phone call and asked, are you still married? Because the Lord told me that you were my husband and I've been waiting for you all this time. Yeah, can you believe that people actually do stuff like this? Yeah. It goes down just like that. So we had a nice little conversation yesterday about this thing. And that's how we spent our Tuesday. Well, today is Wow Wednesday. And you know how we do over here on It's Due Time. It's Ladies Day. And I'm looking forward to hearing from the ladies. You know, we got our girl Vivian, who is going to bring us the Socially Conscious segment. And I can't wait to hear those, that news that she got today. And definitely those COVID numbers. I am really curious as to where they stand right now. And have they gone up or down? You know, last week was the big win for Golden State, but they won in Boston. So let's see if there's any increase in Boston's numbers in the state of Massachusetts, considering it's by state. So we're going to see. We're going to see what's going on out there in the nation and how we're doing in COVID world. So make sure you go get that healthy breakfast. Make sure you tell somebody that it's due time with Pastor Steph is on. And make sure you go nowhere, because we'll be right back.
I'm Sheriff Chad Cronister. Not all wounds are visible. This June, we recognize National PTSD Awareness Month. Post-traumatic stress disorder can happen to anyone, whether they are military veterans or survivors of sexual assault, a serious accident, or even a natural disaster. No matter the reason, PTSD is treatable, but it's important to get diagnosed and seek treatment. Don't be afraid to seek help through a counselor or other medical provider. If you know someone who is struggling, you can find out more information and resources by visiting the National Center for PTSD.
Well, good morning, and good morning again. Welcome back to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph, or either welcome to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And it is Wow Wednesday. Yes, God has so graciously ushered us into the middle of the week. And, you know, you have to give God thanks because everybody didn't make it, but we did. And we're in our right frame of mind. Yes, we are. And, you know, things may not be going just the way we want it to go or the way we would prefer it to go. But we're here. And there's a lot to be grateful for. And I'm excited. I'm excited that we're already in the middle of the week. I can't even believe it. These days and weeks are flying by. They really are. And I tell you, when you look around, it'll already be Friday. God spares life. God spares our life. God's willing, however you say it. And I want you to get comfortable because we're about to get this socially conscious segment underway. So let's say good morning to our girlfriend Vivian. Good morning, Viv.
Good morning. Happy Wow Wednesday. How are you, Pastor Steph?
I am well, thank you, Vivian. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
That's good. What you got for us today?
Alrighty, today on Socially Conscious, we're going to take a look at those COVID numbers. Top five states with the highest COVID cases in the last 7 days are California, still in that number one spot with 105,308 cases. That is a decrease of over 22,000 cases since last week. Florida is number two with 75,528 cases. That is an increase of over 3,000 cases since last week. Texas is number three with 40,291 cases. That is a decrease of over 7,000 cases. Puerto Rico is number four with 23,396 cases. That is a decrease of over 6,000 cases since last week. And New York City is number five with 20,792 cases. That is an increase of over 9,000 cases since New York City was in our top five back in April of this year. So as we can see, for the most part, a lot of the states saw some decreases this week outside of Florida and New York. New York making its way back in the top five, but pretty decent numbers, if I would say so myself. And speaking of COVID, there is now a green light for the vaccine for children ages 6 months old to 5 years old. They have begun dishing out these vaccines starting yesterday. They are offering the Moderna and the Pfizer vaccine to children, again, 6 months old to 5 years old. And in New York State, kids under 3 years old need to see a pediatrician for their first dose. They cannot get their shot at most pharmacies. So if you are into that kind of thing, there's that information. Our next story is involving a modern-day Bonnie and Clyde. And I think their names are more interesting than the actual crimes, but reports say a Georgia couple went on a two-week crime spree that included carjacking and bank robbery. Authorities say 30-year-old Quantavius Arnold and 31-year-old Erica, with a C and a K, Brewster, put innocent civilians at risk through multiple crimes in Atlanta and DeKalb County. On November 12, 2019, Arnold and two other people carjacked a victim at gunpoint outside a Southwest Atlanta convenience store. 2 days later, officials say Arnold drove himself and his girlfriend, Brewster, in the stolen car to a bank in DeKalb County. At the bank, they say Arnold threatened to kill people unless the bank teller gave the couple thousands of dollars in cash. After getting the money, the couple fled in the car, which they then abandoned. But Atlanta officers found Arnold a week later in a wooded area down the block from where the carjacking happened. When he was arrested, officers found the gun he used in the bank robbery, crack cocaine, and a digital scale. FBI agents arrested his girlfriend Brewster a short time later, and now Arnold has been sentenced to 25 years in prison, followed by 3 years of supervised release, and he is ordered to pay over $8,000 in restitution. And his girlfriend was sentenced to four years in prison, and followed by 5 years of supervised release. And she must also pay $8,000 in restitution. So they went on their fun little crime spree for 2 weeks, and now he's in jail for 25 years. Was it worth it? Speaking of sentencing, the family of a teen is asking for a retrial after their 18-year-old daughter was sentenced to 140 years in prison for murder. So they're saying that multiple people were charged in this shooting that took place February 14th of last year. Apparently, there was an argument between their then 17-year-old daughter, Damia Mitchell, and her 20-year-old friend, Faith Burns, when they say Mitchell pulled out a gun and shot Ms. Burns. Ms. Burns was taken to the hospital where she later died. They're saying that most of the other people that were involved in this incident decided to take plea deals, so they got their time, most up to 10 years in prison. But Damia Mitchell, who chose to go to trial for the killing, was convicted of manslaughter, aggravated assault, and street gang activity. And because the focus was on her, which they say that she was the shooter, I didn't really get a lot of information from all the articles that I read about the other people and how they were involved. But they are naming Ms. Mitchell the shooter. And the jury did find her guilty. And her family are stunned at the severity of the sentence she received as a first-time offender. So the family protested outside the courthouse on Tuesday, demanding a new trial with a new judge. They want evidence reexamined. They're saying that they got their facts wrong. They're saying what happened is that they were hanging out when a group of people showed up and someone opened fire. I thought this was an interesting story. I'm pretty sure they did their investigation. They had to have swabbed her for gunpowder and did all of that. And they're calling her the shooter. They're saying that she killed this woman. So she took her chances and she went to trial rather than taking the plea deal. So if she's guilty, she deserves every bit of that 140 years. And lastly, we have always talked about the respect for church or the lack thereof and how it has gotten completely out of control. Well, there was a children's dance competition held in the church that turned into an all-out brawl. Reports say dozens of kids ages 9 to 14 were at the church having a dance competition. And they were talking trash. The teens were talking trash between one another. And things just got out of hand where children and adults were all fighting. A 14-year-old by the name of Aaliyah York says both kids and adults were punching her and kicking her as she lay on the floor trying to cover her face and her head. She claims even the coaches of the opposing team beat on her. She says the teams were talking trash to one another at the competition when things took a turn for the worse. And all of this went down in the church. Ain't nothing sacred nowadays. And now for our wild story of the week. A New York man made up a kidnapping claim to win over his estranged spouse. Reports say Louis Umanzer filed a report with the Suffolk County Police on June 16th, claiming that hours earlier, three unknown men jumped him in a parking lot. They put a bag over his head and threw him in the back of the car. This man, who is 49 years old, told investigators that the men put a bag over his head, forced him into a car, then held him captive for several hours before dropping him off at an area hospital. Authorities said cops conducted an extensive two-day investigation into the supposed kidnapping, then met with him for further questioning, and then during the second meeting, he allegedly admitted to fabricating the whole story in a ploy to gain favor with his estranged spouse. He is now arrested and charged with falsely reporting an incident and making an apparently sworn statement. He was released with a desk appearance ticket and is due back in court at a later date. Now, we know people lie. That's just people. But this man went all the way and filed an entire police report with this story. And now he could be facing up to a year in jail, and he is definitely going to be having to pay some hefty fines for wasting these people's time, all because he didn't want to tell his estranged spouse that he was out doing what he does. That's some real dedication. But this has been Vivian with The Socially Conscious, giving you the news that we are following. And remember, if you have any wild stories you would like to submit, please feel free to direct message me on Facebook. My username there is Vivian BM, and come back every Wednesday to find out if your story has been chosen. Thank you, as always, to our loyal listeners, and thank you, Pastor Steph.
Thank you, Vivian. Thank you. Those COVID numbers don't seem to be too bad this week. I agree. And unfortunately, New York City is back in the game, and you know, we ain't happy to hear about that one, but you know, things are going down, and I'm still not surprised at Florida being, you know, so high, because they are the hot spots for vacationing. And again, as we've talked about, they wear nude masks out there. Now, hey, I want to talk about this. What do you think about this vaccination for 6 months old to 5 years old, when the numbers are coming down? You know, it's not like we, you know, where we were before. So why are we still even looking to vaccinate people?
I mean, I knew they was gonna get everybody, you know, in that sense, but they was gonna make sure that everybody had an opportunity to get vaccinated. They're saying that kids are turning up positive left and right, which it's kind of true because I have a lot of cases, and, you know, I work in the schools and I see a lot of cases going down in the infant room more often than, you know, any of the other classes, because they're always putting things in their mouths and, you know, they have no choice but to be in close contact with other people. So regardless of the numbers being down, you know, infants are more susceptible because adults are out, they're traveling, and then they, you know, holding on to them infants and things like that. So I can understand it. I mean, if I had a child, I wouldn't be doing getting my child vaccinated, especially not in those 6 months old, because they're test dummies right now. You can't really tell what these are going to do to these kids, but, I mean, I'm not surprised at all.
Well, also, Vivian, they had something that came up with this Moderna vaccine not that long ago. And, I mean, this is within, like, the last couple of weeks that they're talking about this Moderna. So I'm a little surprised that, you know, you, like you said, you know, they want to, you know, mess with the little people, you know, as little as 6 months to 5 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little surprised. I wish I would have paid a little more attention to that article, because it definitely would have come in handy now, especially being
right.
That Moderna is the one that they're looking to, you know, give the children. But I'm a little surprised. I'm still a little surprised. I get, you know, this whole thing, you know, with, you know, them coming up positive. But, again, they were always the ones who did not have to have on masks.
That's true. I don't know.
I don't know. You know, I guess, you know, to each his own. However, you know, people feel that, you know, they want to protect their children or just kind of
mm-hmm.
let, you know, throw it to the, you know, wind and see how it goes. I don't know. There was another one I wanted to talk about. You know, our ladies just joined us, literally. So they missed, by the skin of their dialing in, they just missed our news. And I don't want to actually have you go back over news, and I don't even know if you have the time to actually do so, because I'm really not good at recapping your news, I got to tell you. I might be able to do some things, but I can't recap your news. But do you have some time for us?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Would you mind giving us, and sorry, you know, for all of those who heard already, you get a recap. You get to hear Vivian a little bit longer this morning and not pass the Steph's mouth. But let's start with this, Bonnie and Clyde story.
Okay. So there's a modern-day Bonnie and Clyde. And their names are very interesting. So reports say that a Georgia couple went on a two-week crime spree that included a carjacking and a bank robbery. Authorities say 30-year-old Quantavious Arnold and 31-year-old Erica, that's with a C and a K, Brewster, put innocent civilians at risk through multiple crimes in Atlanta. In November of 2019, Arnold and two people carjacked a victim at gunpoint outside of a convenience store. And 2 days later, he and his girlfriend drove around in the stolen car. They went into a bank and threatened to kill people unless the bank teller gave the couple thousands of dollars in cash. After getting the money, the couple fled in the car, which they later abandoned. The officers found Arnold a week later in a wooded area down the block from where the carjacking happened. When he was arrested, officers found the gun he used in the bank robbery, crack cocaine, and a digital scale on him. FBI agents arrested the girlfriend a short time later, and now Arnold is facing, he was sentenced to 25 years in prison, followed by 3 years of supervised release. and he is ordered to pay over $8,000 in restitution. The girlfriend, Brewster, was also sentenced. She has 4.5 years of imprisonment, followed by 5 years of supervised release, and she must also pay the same amount of money in restitution. We then have a story of a now 18-year-old girl who has been sentenced to 140 years in prison for murder, and her family is fighting for a retrial. They say that the authorities have used their daughter as an example and that they got their facts all wrong. They're saying what actually happened is that their daughter, who was then 17 years old, did not actually shoot her 20-year-old friend during an argument. Her family says what actually happened is that they were hanging out when a group of people came up and just started shooting. And they want their daughter to be retried, and they want the evidence to be reexamined. They're saying that the people that were also involved, there may have been some friends that were involved, but they took plea deals. They got up to 10 years in prison, and they're serving their time. But their daughter decided to take this to trial. She is the one being named as the shooter. She is the one being named as the murderer. She took this to trial, and she got a 140-year sentence, and they want this to be retrialed. Our next story says this is about the church. There was a group of children ages 9 to 14 years old. They were having a dance competition in the church. They were talking trash amongst the team, and then a fight broke out. A 14-year-old girl by the name of Alaya York says both kids and adults were punching and kicking her as she lay on the floor trying to cover her face and her head. She claims even the coaches of the opposing team beat on her. She says the teams, again, were talking trash at the competition when things took a turn for the worse. And all of this went down in the church. And our wild story for the week, a man made up a kidnapping claim to win over his estranged spouse. Reports say 49-year-old Louis Umanzer filed a police report with Suffolk County Police on June 16th, claiming that hours earlier, three unknown men jumped him in a parking lot, put a bag over his head, forced him into a car, then held him captive for several hours before dropping him at an area hospital. Authorities said cops conducted an extensive two-day investigation into the supposed kidnapping. Then they met with Mr. Umanzer for further questioning, and during that second meeting, he admitted to fabricating the whole story in a bid to gain favor with his estranged spouse. Umanzer was arrested and was charged with falsely reporting an incident and making an apparently sworn statement. He was released with a death apparent ticket and is due back in court at a later date.
Oh, my goodness. You know, hearing these stories all over again, I'm glad for the recap, because I got a chance to hear some stuff that I didn't catch the first time, or I guess some emphasis was put on some stuff for me. Thank you so much, Vivian, for giving us a socially conscious segment this morning. This, you know, these are some crazy stories. And you have a blessed day. Thank you, Vivian. Thank you so much.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Thank you. We have our ladies on this morning, and we're going to say good morning to our Elder Natisha Moore. Good morning, Elder Natisha.
Good morning. How are you?
I am well. Thank you. I'm well. Missed you last week, but thank God that, you know, you were granted traveling mercies and you're back with us this week. And how you doing over there?
I'm good. No complaints. Good. I'm happy to be back on.
Good, very good. So, you know, how we do outside of our wow story. What would you like to talk about this morning?
I guess we could talk about the Bonnie and Clyde.
All right.
It further just shows us, right, how actually, you know what? No, I'm sorry. I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk about the kids at church. That's what I want to talk about. Or is that the wild story?
No, that's not the wild story. We can talk about the kids at church.
Yes. I want to talk about the kids at church because I think this is the reason why we cannot bring things in the world into the church, right? I know, you know, it is important. It's important for the church to be relevant. I think in order for us to do ministry today, that we have to have ministry that is relevant to the community. But I think we stay true to who we are as the church, that we keep the church a sacred environment, right? And so when you start bringing, you know, dance competitions and things of that nature, I think those are better had at gyms where, you know, where the environment is conducive for that type of, you know, of going on. I do think it is crazy how, like, one, it's good. It's not good sportsmanship to be trash talking, even in basketball, football, hockey. Trash talking is limited, you know, because you see it even on a professional realm. Emotions are high when you are in a competitive sport, when you are in this competitive posture. Emotions are high, and then lack of self-control follows. So we see that all the time with our basketball players. We see it all the time in professionals. What would make us think that, you know, the coaches that were training these young ladies for a dance competition wouldn't teach them about the importance of sportsmanship.
Right.
So that, you know, you didn't have this kind of stuff going on. But then you got the adults also up on the girl.
In
like, what could she have said that was so bad that made all of y'all want to beat her down? Like, what did she, like, no matter how much she said, y'all are trash. Y'all dancers are whack. That meant that we all had to beat her down because of that. I think this is literally what it looks like when we allow space for the enemy, and especially for it to be had at church. We talked about there being no sanctity anymore, no reverence. This is just clearly evident of that.
I have to honestly tell you, Elder Natisha, your thoughts were exactly where my thoughts were when Vivian was telling the story. And I'm saying to myself, I'm like, well, okay, it was from trash talking. Well, where were the adults when all of this exchange was going on? Nobody said anything. Nobody, you know, stopped it. Nobody intervened. And, you know, why are we bringing that competition, you know, like that to the, you know, into the church? And, you know, like you said, it needs to be in the gym, per se.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're going to
have
some type of event or, you know, some Olympic type of thing, you know, whatever, that's fine. But in the church is really, we have a responsibility. And I'm going to tell you a quick story that came to my mind. And we can kind of dialogue about this, which kind of pushes what you were saying. We took the, I always tell y'all, you know, my congregation has always been young people. And we went on a retreat back in 14. And this was a husband and wife. You know, you're young nonetheless. And we were playing, it must have been like Trouble or, you know, some board game. And what, it was the three of us. And when I tell you that they made me sick, I was like, yo, I mean, when you talk, forget about poor sore losers. Talk about poor winners. They were like, oh, yeah, you know, and I'm like, no. Oh, no, y'all giving me a headache. It was just way, and I don't listen. When, you know, and they know me when I play as well. You know, I'm a take that, you know, type of person. You know, if I want to have a, you know, a good time, or, you know, if I want to act a little silly, because everybody knows I can go a little, you know, to that, you know, to that degree as well. But it was just a level of, this went on for so long. And I said, this the way y'all play games? I said, this sounds like a war going on. This don't sound like no playing games. And I literally, you know, I was like, okay, I can't play. And then the Spirit of the Lord said, you know, it started showing me as he was, you know, giving me these things to do with them, that, you know, this is for you to teach them, Stephanie, because they're not, whatever, whether, you know, from the street thing or, you know, from their home thing, because I grew up in a home where my parents played games with us, me and my sister, and they bought all kinds of games, and we learned how to play games, and we learned how to play, you know, in a fun, you know, way where it was, you know, it was a friendly level of competition. Right. But Elza and I teach it. When I had a headache, and I was like, yo, seriously, y'all? I cannot do this. I cannot do this. And the point I was trying to make is, as we are coaches, as we're pastors, as we're teachers, you know, these are the opportunities we get that when we see, because let me tell you something, if there was trash talk at that competition, there was trash talk during practice.
Yes.
So you had an opportunity there and then to kind of see how these children interact with one another. Now, is it me or am I making any sense?
Yeah, no, absolutely. They had a responsibility to teach them sportsmanship. Sportsmanship, I mean, there were dance competitions on TV that we watched, right? And in those television programs, you didn't see those girls trash talking each other. Sportsmanship was like, listen, we all went out there. We all did our thing. You shake their hands at the end, right? And whoever moved on to the next level, moved on to the next level, so on and so forth. Trash talking, there can't be place for it if you want it to really be a great event. There's no place for it because trash talking leads. You are insulting another person's craft. And if I've been practicing, then your insult hits me and hurts me, and that makes me want to throw my fist. You see what I'm saying? So it's understanding that puzzles me about the adults in the room, the coaches. But I'm trying to figure out what could have been said that made the coach start punching on us. The article that Vivian said was that the coaches was hitting on the girl too.
So it just really, like you said, it puts into question, you know, what actually do you need? You need to learn as a coach, you know, to just have, if you're going to do this thing, then do the thing. And help and all of you need to grow. And so it makes me wonder, did you, because I know churches to do this, is this one of those things where it was brought into the church to pull in the church, but it wasn't the church per se? Follow what I'm saying?
Right.
Am I saying?
Yep.
You know, so because it's just too extreme, like you said, for parents now, coaches now. You know, it's not just the children. This has grown to, you know, the adults in the room becoming just as unruly as the children. So I'm wondering if that may have been part of what was going on. So that makes me, you know, kind of scratch my head there.
You're absolutely right.
I don't know, Elden, I teach. I don't know. You know, hopefully, you know, there's some lessons learned here and we can, you know, get a little more sportsmanship and godliness you know, into these events. And, you know, hopefully this is the last time we hear of something, you know, going down like this. So, but thank you so much for joining us this morning. We're glad, again, we're glad to have you back. And we're going to say good morning to Elder Nye, Pastor Kim Brooks. Good morning, Pastor Kim.
Good morning. How are you?
I am well. Thank you. I am well. What you want to talk about?
Well, my wonderful sister has spoken on what I was going to speak on, and she did so very well with that, that I guess I will go on to and just talk about the Bonnie and Clyde situation.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, you had Bonnie and Clyde that robbed someone, right?
Right.
For eight,
right.
Was it eight? Yeah,
for 2 weeks.
They robbed somebody.
Yeah, they went on a two-week spree.
And then they got caught.
Absolutely. Yes, they went on a two-week spree, a two-week crime spree.
Yeah.
They carjacked someone. They robbed the bank. And they were found a week later, and they were found with a gun, crack, and now he's going to do 25 years and has to pay $8,000, and she's been sentenced for 4 years, and she, too, has to pay this $8,000 fine.
And they should, you know, I mean, you all get... You can run, but you can't hide, and what people have to understand is that you can fool some of the people some of the time, but not all the people all the time. And, you know, things have a way of catching up with you, you know, right when they probably thought they had gone away scot-free, you know, 2 weeks later, just long enough for them to think that they had got away, you know. But it's interesting that they gave him, you know, more time than you know, that she was given. And so she needs to really count her blessing, you know. But, it just goes to show that, you know, people are just out here in a bad way, you know, in a bad way. Doing things that are ungodly, unconstitutional. People are just—they're just out their minds, you know. But they need to thank God that that they still have their life and they still have an opportunity to learn from their mistakes and to get their life right, you know. And sometimes people can do some things that are really costly, you know, and it could have very well. Costed them their lives, but God was merciful unto them, you know, and he's given them another chance to pay for their mistake. And also, when I heard that eight, you know, that's the number of new beginnings, you know, God can give them a chance, you know, to try to get their life together. You know, people are out here, they are losing their lives every single day, you know, doing stupid stuff. You know, and, you know, for that young lady to allow herself to even get caught up in this act with this young man, I mean, what are you thinking? You know, I mean, how much do you value your life that you would even go out here with this? I don't know if it was her boyfriend or whoever, but, you know, I mean, it's just unfortunate that people are doing things that are just, It just doesn't make sense. It just does not make sense. And it just shows us again that the world is in there.
Absolutely, Pastor Kim. Absolutely. And you brought up some really good points. First of all, you know, do you really want to be out here up against some cops after you didn't rob the bank? Because more than likely, you know, with those names, we know what side of the fence they're on. And if you're caught out there against the cops, you probably ain't coming out of this one. And they took a big chance. They took a big chance, like you said. And, you know, you got smashed with 25 years. But, you know, I think Vivian said let me see, I want to look at those ages. They are 30 and 31 years old. So at 25 years, you know, if you spend that whole 25 years, I think he's going to have some post-release time as well. And, you know, you're young enough. You're going to be, what, 55 to really take that second shot that you were given. And I really think, like I said, you brought up some really good points. You know, what were you thinking that, you know, this was your, if this was your man, you didn't definitely chose the wrong man to get caught up with, that, you know, you going on this little crime spree. And I thought about what you were saying about the time it took for them to finish their little spree. And then they sat back and parlayed and thought of, you know, thought, yeah, hey, you know, we cool. We even got away with it. Mm-hmm. You know, nobody knows it was us. And, you know, like Vivian said, it was only like in this, it was in the same vicinity that they even kind of settled down. So, you know, you weren't smart. You weren't smart at all. I always say, listen, if I'm going to do something, I'm leaving town the same night. I am not sitting around, you know, waiting for y'all to come knocking on my door, you know, up in the Bronx. You know, no, I'm hitting the road. I'm not right. sitting back. I don't understand. Where is the plan in all of this? So, you know, it's a lot to think about when you're going on these little, you know, when you're going to commit these crimes. You better really try to plan this thing out properly. If that's going to be your life, you're going to do this thing. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's unfortunate that, you know, still at 30 and 31, you're young. And, you know, there's still time to do things the right way. So, you know, we thank you for joining us this morning. And we'll be back to talk. And, you know, right now, you know, I was explaining last week that our Lady Tamika is going to be out of our reach for a minute. And we're waiting for God to kind of bring her back to us, if that's his plan. And in the interim, we always got our girl Sean Chief to throw in some of that millennial thought. So let's say good morning to Sean Chief. Good morning, Sean Chief.
Good morning. How are you?
I am well. Thank you. I'm well. You know, as your grandmother would always say, oh, you think you something else now that you with the pastor, the elder, and oh, she used to rag you after you were on with the ladies. But thank you so much for joining us. How you doing today? You doing okay over there?
Fine, thank you.
Good. What you got for us today? What you want to talk about? Which one of these stories you want to talk about before we get to this wow story?
I want to talk about the girl who pulled the trigger and then wanted to go to trial.
Okay. Okay.
I don't understand the concept behind I did it, but I want to debate that I did it. It's like, so now you got smacked with almost 200 years. When you did it. Like, you did it. I don't understand. And, you know, what's crazy, it brought me to a situation where, you know, we know someone who did it, and everyone knows who was with him, pled, you know, they gave a plea deal, whatever they did, and by the time they, you know, went through all the preliminaries and I guess the trial started and stuff, they had already served their time pretty much for the most part. But you're the one who actually pulled the trigger, and you want to go have this debate. And now you're about to spend the rest of your life in jail. Not just because you did it, but because you want to debate that you actually did it. And it's like, I don't understand the concept behind it.
Well, you know, 140 years? 140 years. You know, and now, you know, of course, there's a protest. Because who gives someone 140 years for their first, and she's 8, she was 17 at the time, and you smashed her with 140 years for this shooting and this murder. And, you know, it's interesting to me, you know, how it is. I thought about it, especially when Vivian went through the story the second time, how, like you said, Shantice, that, you know, everybody fled. They fled out. And, you know, you were the one who everybody said you pulled the trigger. Now, does that necessarily mean that you had to be the one that pulled the trigger? But more than likely, you were probably one that pulled the trigger. But you're right. You know, that's a gamble. That's a gamble.
Right. And that's probably why she got the 141 years, because you actually wanted to debate this. Not the fact that you did it. I don't understand the, you know, why, like you said, if you weren't the one who actually did it, but I think Vivian said that she was. But especially if you were the one who did it, you know, no one wants to, especially if you had time to think and now you're regretting the choice that you made. Absolutely, you don't want to have to walk into anywhere, you know, walk into this courtroom and say, yes, I shot so-and-so, whether they died or not. But then, of course, this person died. You really don't want to say it. But you're really, like you said, pushing your luck and really trying this. That's silly to me.
Well, here's the other thing that I thought about, Shantice. You know, okay, so you were the one. So clearly this entire case had these other people involved. Now, Vivian didn't necessarily say what their involvement was. But it had to be some level of involvement because they pled out and got 10 years.
So
you, even with your plea deal, you ended up with 10 years. Now, was that excessive? We don't know, because we don't know the exact, you know, situation and what they did.
Right.
But that's something else to also think about. You actually pled out and got 10 years. And so now that makes you think, well, if I actually had a little more involvement than the others, regardless of what this more involvement was, but if I had more involvement than that and they got 10 years, do I really want to push my luck? So, you know, when you're in these situations, there's a lot to think about. There's a lot to think about.
Right.
A lot to think about. You know, going back to the story that you were talking about, the example that you gave, and I want to say this because you brought this up in this particular instance as well. You know, they were upset because you kind of pushed push the bar. But I remember that this particular individual was told, if they find you guilty on anything, I'm smashing you. So, you know, these judges also, you know, have their, you know, they have their thoughts already. You know what I'm saying? So you're working against the jury and the judge.
Right.
So that's something else that, you know, that might have been, you know, that played in this 140 years for a 17-year-old. That's like telling her she's got life. Really? That's a bit.
And I always said that. Once you sentence someone more than 50 years, just tell me I got life. Don't be giving me no numbers. I just think that is so disrespectful. So you have 291 years. Look, just say you ain't never getting out. Start crying now. I'd rather hear that than hear some numbers. Because I'm really going to live 141 years. Really?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I want to let the other ladies weigh in on this here. Elder Natisha, thank you so much for joining us, Shanti. Before we get to our wild story, what's your thought on this 140 years for this first offense situation?
I think it's excessive. I think it's excessive. I mean, we would have to go back. I don't know the numbers, but I would be curious to find what these mass shooters, what number, how many years did they get? You know, 140, because like you ladies said, that's life. You gave her life for her first offense. And I'm almost inclined to believe that if she was pushing the envelope, she was pushing the envelope perhaps because of the fact that, like, if from what they're saying, her mother said that there was a shootout, right, and multiple people were shooting or whatever the case may be, and it just so happens that if she was shooting as well, her bullet is who hit the young lady and died. There's a difference, right, between me point blank shooting at you, right, with the intent to kill you, or me just kind of shooting as I'm trying to run to get back. Not making no excuses for anything, but I'm trying to understand what would make them push the envelope, you understand, as to why
right.
they would want to try right. to go to trial. I mean, I think their bet was on the fact that she wouldn't get as much time if they understood the situation. The situation is she was in a shootout. It wasn't that she intended, per se, to
right,
kill
right,
this person,
right, right.
but they all
right.
were shooting, and her bullet is the one that landed and ended up killing the girl. And if that is, in fact, true, then I think 140 years is excessive.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And it's only our people that get those type of verdicts.
Absolutely.
It's only our people
absolutely.
That get those type of verdicts.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And at 17 years old, where there was melee, that's why I also, you're right, Elton, I teach you, that's why I brought up the fact that the other involvement had to be excessive as well, because who pleads and gets 10 years? You know,
right.
that's excessive when you plead. You know, generally when you plead, you get 5 years, you know, something like that. So something
right.
was going on in this whole situation that there was some excessive behavior, you know, for these participants. And, you know, yeah, you had to think you could take a stand on something, you know,
right.
when you decided to say, well, you know what, no, let's take this one to trial.
Right.
So, yeah, there's a lot to think about here. Pastor Kim,
yeah.
what's your thought, 140 years for this 17-year-old young lady, first offense?
Yeah, that's unheard of, you know. I mean, you don't even live that long, so who would even, I mean, basically... Like you said, why not, if you're going to say something, just say, okay, you're going to get life. But to just, you know, come that harsh. And then, you know, you're trying a child as an adult because in all reality speaking, this child, she's 17. She's not even an adult yet. I don't even
right.
hear adults getting that kind of time, you know.
Right, right. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think that sentence was just a little that was over the edge. That was just a little too harsh.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the first thing I thought about was, well, I'd really like to know what other kind of sentencing this judge is giving. You know, when this is where you're going. You know, for this particular case here. All right, ladies. Look, we just crossed over, you know, what this nation celebrates is Father's Day. And, you know, so we celebrate our man, you know, for what he does and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And you've got this estranged wife who this man is trying to win back your love, your company, you know, the marriage, and he's going to set out to tell this story of him being kidnapped. You know, somebody put a bag over his head, held him, and all of this kind of stuff. And, you know, is this love? Is this true love that he would go to this extreme of telling this story? You know, getting the police involved just to win back your love. Is this love? And I want to start with you, Pastor Kim.
I don't know what kind of love that is that would have you go through those kind of changes. If that's real, I don't want nothing to do with that because that's crazy. Really?
Oh,
you gonna do all that for the sake of love? That had to have been lust. You must have been lusting and so gone that she got your nose so wide open that you willing to do something crazy like that. No, that ain't love. I'm sorry.
Mm-mm. This is his wife, Pastor Kim. This ain't nobody, just off the street. This is his wife now. Don't forget that little piece. You know, his wife had left him.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's trying to gain back and, you know, get back in her good graces. You know, so, you know, he wants her to believe that he's been kidnapped and he's been through this trauma. And maybe after all of this, she'll take him back. Does that
really
make a difference?
I mean, come on, you don't play like that. You don't play like that.
You know,
that is no kind of way to be playing to win nobody's love back. Look, if it's meant for y'all two to get back together, then it's going to happen. But I think something, you doing something that crazy would really give me my confirmation that, you know what, maybe we need to just go on and stay split up, because if you're doing crazy stuff like that, you might not be all the way together. I'm sorry. Husband, you got some mental issues. You don't do something that crazy like that. Something wrong with you, sir.
God bless you and heaven smile upon you. Something is wrong with you.
Woo, baby. Shantae, is that love? You know, would that make you take him back? You know, like, oh, my goodness, he would do all of that for me. You know, what would you say?
First of all, once I heard the story, like before I heard it was fake, I would already have some questions. First of all, who's jacking you for what? You ain't got nothing, most likely. And then once I found out that it was a lie, you would have to quit your whole social media life. Like, if you had, I would have to spend at least a day making this public. Like, no. Because it's like you would really go through the effort you put into that. You could have put into really doing something that would have shown whether I would have taken you back or not, something different. But you could have put some genuine human effort that shows you had some brain cells into, like, really apologizing or doing something nice that would have shown that, you know, I'm sorry or I would like to, because the situation was. But the energy you took in getting this false claim and calling the cops and all, nah. There's nothing cute about that at all.
Oh. All righty. Come on, Elder Nitesha. Come on. Pastor Greg, they did this thing for you, girl. He's showing you he love you.
No, I think that there's an important lesson here for women to be able to identify. One, this was manipulation. This was emotional abuse, right? And like in the character, look at the character of the individual, right? That you would be excessive in your behavior to manipulate me to the point of creating a whole fictitious story to get back into good graces. No, this is not love. This is manipulation and emotional manipulation at that. And I would venture to say, this is not the first time he was at extreme. But what happens is she thought it was cute at first. She, too, thought it was love. Her interpretation of his manipulation and of his excessiveness, she thought that was cute until it wasn't cute no more, until he kept making up stories to explain away his behavior. And so now here we are at a large situation. We get to a real extreme situation. So I would venture to say kudos to her for identifying his manipulation and separating from him, as this action only proved further how far he would go
to manipulate her. That's why we can't think manipulation is cute from the get-go, women, ladies. We can't think that excessive behavior. He's just so into me. He is so into me that he extra, right? No. If he's extra, he going to be extra all throughout your relationship. If he was manipulative and you just swept that under the rug because, oh, he's just doing that because he loved me. Girl, no, that's not what love looks like. You don't have to be manipulated for someone to prove to you that they're into you or that they love you that much. Honesty is proof that you into me. Honesty, trustworthiness is proof that you love me, not manipulation. So I'm supposed to feel bad for you, right? You're playing on my emotions. You're playing on my intelligence. I'm supposed to feel bad for you because that happened to you and just take you back. Oh, my poor husband. Somebody done tried to kill him. Lord, if they'd have killed him. Come on home, honey. Come on home. No.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Woo. You ladies are laying it out here already. You know, it's funny that this comes up because, you know, the topic of our conversation today, do it the right way when helping others. And, you know, it kind of touches on, you know, what you were all saying, you know, especially with you, Elder and I, Tisha. You know, listen, help me help you. You know, I have to help you sometimes by making some real tough decisions. And letting you go sometimes is really helping you. You know, it might hurt me a little bit, you know. It might hurt me a lot. But at the end of the day, you know, letting you go is really helping you. Because if I keep taking all of this nonsense from you, I'm only feeding your issue. And, you know, I thought about that as you were all talking. I'm like, ooh, we're talking about doing it the right way when we're helping others. And, you know, we're going to talk about some stuff here today with, you know, not just helping your man, but helping other people. You know, are we really helping people when we think we're helping them? And one of the first things that they bring up, the experts, as they say, you know, you have to have a level of competence, you know, when you're helping somebody. Elder and Tisha, we're going to let you get this started.
Absolutely. And I think that competence has to span across a broad spectrum, right? It's emotional intelligence. It's competence to be able to think outside of yourself, because you can't help no one else if you are the source of your focus, right? Like the golden saying, and this is actually a conversation that we have as I'm training new staff, the idea of the golden rule, treat others like they want to be treated, right? And we've been saying that forever, thinking that that's right. Well, in fact, it really should be that we treat others the way that they want to be treated, because they are unique in their perspectives and their development and their experiences and their culture, their life experiences. And so I can't base how I treat you based off of how I want to be treated, because that may not be sufficient for you. We've learned that there are all kind of love languages, and, you know, something that lands for me may not land for you. If you are a person that, you know, appreciates giving gifts, and I'm a person that appreciates being recognized, then it's not going to land the same. So competence in your ability to think beyond yourself is a necessity if you're going to help others, and really being aware of who that person is. That's the reason why building relationships are so important. If I'm in relationship with you, if I get to know you, then me getting to know you helps me to understand if I want to touch you, then I'm going to do what is suitable for you, not because, oh, I think these flowers are nice. Yeah, well, I have an allergy to flowers. So how did that you know, how did that show me appreciation? What you did was you set off my allergic reaction, and now I'm in here and need an EpiPen because of your nice gesture. So, you know, we do. Competition and thinking beyond ourselves is important to help others.
All righty. Pastor Kim, you know, we always talk about helping one another, but there's a right and a wrong. And, you know, they bring up competence. You know, is that important?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, competence is most definitely important, you know, because it's all about the way that you're thinking and the way, and your logic and the way that you see things. So absolutely, I think it's very, very important.
All righty, all righty. Shanti's competence in helping other people, you know, if we're going to do it the right way.
Yes, you have to know what you're doing, and that means you have to sit back a lot of the time and just observe and pay attention so that, like Natisha mentioned, you're not just doing things that is pleasing to you, you know, things that are comfortable for you. Well, showing you this works for me, so this is how I'm going to show you. Just know. Learning what that person needs, not even what they want, because a lot of things people tell us they want, it ain't what they need. But learning what it is that they need and now rising to that and providing them with that, you know, whether it be a gesture, whether it be a gift, whether it be counsel or whatever it is that you see that they need. But just being mature enough to make sure you have the knowledge that you need so that you can properly execute whatever it is that you need to execute for that person.
All right, all right. Pastor Kim, they bring up reliability. If you're going to help people the right way, you got to be reliable.
Absolutely. You know, when you're talking about, you know, helping people, you know, and the Bible tells us that we should be helpers one to another, you know, and if you tell somebody that you're going to do something for them, your word is your bond. You know, if I say, you know, hey, you know, somebody come to me and say, I need you, you know, can you loan me, you know, some money? I'm short on my rent. You know, I want to be reliable and dependable, and I don't want you to have to feel like, oh, wow, she told me she was going to loan it to me, but now she's not answering her phone. You know, that's not being reliable and dependable, you know. You have to say what you mean and mean what you say. And if you say that you're going to do something for somebody, somebody should know that your word is golden. Your word, you know, is good, you know, and they should be able to take that to the bank and be able to cash it, you know, and knowing that, you know, that person's character and their integrity is everything, you know. So, yeah, I want to be found being reliable and dependable.
Okay. Shanti, reliability. They're throwing that one in as the right way, as a component, you know, to being the right way to help a person.
Yes, you have to. And, you know, what I've learned is, especially, you know, when you call yourself a Christian, a child of God, is when you're not reliable, they immediately associate that with God. So you have to make sure that whatever God sends you to do for someone, you know, because if it's on your heart, he put it there. Whatever he sends you to do for that person, whatever you say you're going to do, you have to make sure you really go out your way to accomplish it, because they really look past you. Even if they cuss you out, even if they get mad at you, they're really associating that with God. Oh, God is flaky. This is what you claim you go to church and you say you're going to come and buy me that bag of chips, but you didn't. You just sent the money for it. It's just, they're just really associated with him. So you really have to make sure that, you know, when you say that you're going to do something, you stick to it. And that'll also help your habits of making sure you keep your vow. You know, when you say, I'm going to do something, I'm actually going to do it. Because they're, you know, no matter how much they're really relying on you to be the person they claim they don't like you being. You know, but it's like, oh, but I'm relying on so-and-so to actually do such and such a thing for your rival.
Okay, okay, thank you. I need you to get to a place where we come back around, please, that, you know, you're breaking up. So please get to that magic spot, because we don't want to miss anything you have to say. Elder Natisha, reliability when you're going to do things the right way.
Absolutely, especially if you're aiming to help others, right? I mean, I think the Bible talks about our character and, you know, allowing our words to be what they mean, like to mean what you say and say what you mean. And in fact, I think it's a scripture in Matthew that says to put your trust, no, it's in Proverbs, to put your trust in a man who is treacherous is like putting your foot on something that slips. In other words, if you put your trust or your faith, your hope in someone who's not reliable, who's not dependable and credible, then you are literally setting yourself up to be disappointed, is really what the scripture is saying in Proverbs. And so the Bible talks to us a lot about our character and really being individuals that people can depend on, because we do represent God. And in our representation of God, right, Him living on the inside of us, that's part of the fruit of the Spirit, our ability to really carry out what we say we're going to do. If you cannot do it, it is really better for you to say no than for you to say yes and then not carry it through. So just say no. If you don't have the ability, if you don't have the capacity, you cannot do it, don't let your heart, right? Because sometimes, and we're guilty of that, we'll let our heart speak beyond our capability. Our heart may want to do it, but do we have the capacity to do it? So if you do not have the capacity to do it, just be honest. Your honesty speaks louder than if you just simply wanted to, but then you didn't do it. You let the person down. You left them hanging. They put them in a tighter situation because they could have moved on to find someone else to assist them. But because they were depending on you, waiting on you, thinking you were reliable, and then in the last moment you let them down, you leave them in a harsher bind. So, you know, let's really try to associate reliability with the fruit of the Spirit, with who we are as representations of Christ.
All right, all right. Shanti, they talk about strength. We're talking about doing things, helping people, doing it the right way. You got to have strength to get this done. How true is that?
Do I sound a little clearer?
Much better, thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Strength, yes. And I keep telling people, stop wasting your strength on people and things that you don't have to, because when God needs you to speak to someone or do something for someone, you're going to need all the strength that you have. You will have to tap into some other strength from Him. But yes, you have to, because a lot of times He's going to have you do things for people who you don't really mess with like that. So already that's a certain type of strength that you're going to need. Then you're going to need the strength to be reliable. You're going to need the strength to, you know, be on point and to do what they need and not what's comfortable for you. So you're not going to be able to just wing this. You know, this is not going to be something you can just, okay, well, while I'm doing this, then I'll do that. No, it's going to need a lot of your attention, which requires strength. So you're going to have to make sure that, you know, you're obviously built for it if God has given you the assignment. And you're going to really have to make sure you're tapping into His strength and not try to tap into your own to make sure that you're able to execute whatever it is He needs you to execute for them.
All right, all right. Elder Natisha, strength. How does that play into when you're helping someone?
I think it goes back to what I was saying earlier. If we were to define strength, right, because we throw strength around all the time. We're strong, be strong in the Lord. Like we throw around the word strength, and I don't know if we actually pause to just define it, because strength actually speaks of capacity. It's our ability to withhold pressure or to carry what has been given to us, right? That is what determines our strength. Not all strength is created equal. Strength has to be developed over time. And that's fine. And that's why you have to be fully aware with self to know your capacity. That is what defines your strength, your ability to uphold, to withhold, to carry, to do. So if you're trying to help someone out else and it exceeds your capacity, then you have to be willing to say that. And you have to be okay with it, because there will be other things that will meet the capacity of your strength that you can effectively and efficiently aid someone. It is not helpful to try to help someone carry something that you can't carry. That's a word. If right now I don't have the strength to carry the thing that you're carrying, I have to be okay with saying, sis, I can't carry that. I may be struggling in the same area. I may have some limitations around that particular area. My strength is not to that capacity yet, so I can't carry it. You may have to find you someone else who's gone a little further, who has built up their muscles in this area, who's developed capacity, who's developed some strength to be able to help you with that, because I can't. And that is okay, people of God. It doesn't make you less than. This is why our life is a process. This is why we journey with God. This is why we continue in our faith with God. And the more we journey with God, the more we walk with God, the greater our capacity, the greater our strength, the greater our faith, right? So I beat a dead horse, but really just be okay. You cannot help someone beyond your own capacity. Capacity is what defines your strength.
All right. Pastor Kim, you know, how does having strength aid in you doing the help the right way?
Well, having strength would help me, you know, to aid the right way, because the joy of the Lord, it is my strength. And when I'm pulling strength from the Lord, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. So therefore, whatever it is that somebody might need me to do, I might not be able to do it in my own strength. But when I'm pulling that strength from the Lord, God has given me the strength that I need to be able to follow through with whatever the situation is, whatever it is that's at hand. Amen. Because a lot of things, no, we might not be able to do it, you know, on our own. We might not be able to have the finances that we need. But when we are pulling from our Father, from our Heavenly Father, you know, who is rich in houses and land, when we are seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, everything else is going to be added. So those things that we need, when we pull them from God, when we look to him for them, then the just the joy of the Lord, you know, being our strength, that's where we pull that strength from. You know, we get such great joy in just knowing, hey, whatever you need me to be, whatever you need me to do, I'm here. I'm here from you, you know, and if I can't, I will, you know, with the help of the Lord.
All right. Elton Aisha, I like this one. They say moral excellence. Ooh. Moral excellence is a key component to helping people the right way.
Yeah, I think because how we help flows through our moral compass, right? So it's my ability to identify through my faith, through what I understand about the character of God, with how I allow God to lead me, is actually the fruit that another person receives. What my help is to them should really just always look like the overflow of what God is pouring into me and what God has given to me. My ability to flow in excellence is because I serve an excellent God. My ability to move in morals is because I posture myself at the foot of God to be able to hear his voice. I posture myself, right? We posture ourselves to be at a place to make sure that what we do lines up with the word. That's what moral looks like for us. The world may identify and define the word moral as anything else. Because what the world calls moral is not what we call moral. Our moral compass, our moral teaching comes through the word of God. It is the Bible that teaches us, that leads us, that guides us, that governs. It is the blueprint for our life. And so it is the Bible that sets for us our moral knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. And it is through that understanding, it is through that spirit that I'm able to show up for another person, that I'm able to flow in excellence. I want to give you my best because God gives me his best. So when I show up for you, I'm not showing up for you raggedy, because God has never shown up for me raggedy. And so I think that's how that flows. It's our posturing before God and being knowledgeable of the word of God that creates that moral compass for us. It determines our lifestyle. It determines how we move. And it also sets the quality of our movement.
Ah, absolutely, absolutely. Pastor Kim, you know, how crucial is that moral excellence when we're helping people?
Yes, it's very important, you know, because when you think about moral, that's your the confidence and the enthusiasm and the discipline of a thing, you know. So as a woman or man of God, you know, we should show all of these characteristics, basically. You know, the confidence, the enthusiasm, the discipline, these are the characteristics that a person should be able to see in us, in knowing that I need you, you know. So I know that when I come to you, I know that this is a person of integrity. This is a person that has Holy Ghost integrity. I can look for each and every one of these characteristics and their moral, because this is the type of person that they are. You know, and I think that a person would even know that before they even came to you, because, you know, I already know if I go to Joe Blow, I already know what his attitude and his characteristic or his enthusiasm is going to be about a situation when I go to him. But when it's just a good thing, you know, the Bible says, know them that you labor amongst, you know, and when you know the people, that you are connected with, and when you know that you are going to somebody that you can count on, somebody that has the fruit of the Spirit of God, you know, it's just a good it's just a good look. It's just a good thing in knowing that you're not gonna go to this individual and you're gonna get that dry, ungodly spirit from that individual. So, yes, our moral is everything. It's very, very important.
All right, all right. Shatice, moral excellence, not just being moral, but having an excellent level that you're presenting these morals.
Yes, not being ashamed to show that your morals come from God, that your morals are on the foundation of Jesus, you know, not just saying things and, you know, you be on point and you're smart. Yeah, that's because Jesus is teaching me how to uphold these morals. So like it was said, this challenging at times to uphold his morals while you got the world's version of morals slapping you mm-hmm. all around from each direction, and you still mm-hmm. got to stand firm on what he says you got to stand by. And sometimes you may be wanting to go the world's way because that way is easier. And that way you ain't got to be doing all that explaining and stuff. But just like I said to someone the other day, someone said something to me, and I said, and this is why I'm the only friend you have that you can rely on, because I'm the only legal friend you have. Why? Because I stand on Jesus' morals. The same Jesus you say you don't like is the reason why you're able to come to me with all your serious issues, because all your other friends are illegal. So you have to make sure that you're standing on not only his excellence, but making it known that it's his, not making it seem like you came up with these morals. You woke up and said, I should do this, or I shouldn't do that, and this is what I need to stand by. No, but letting it be known that this is what he requires of us, and this is what we need to be pushing out to other people, despite whether they are for him or not, whether they live in him or not. We need to be pushing that onto other people.
All right. Pastor Kemp, I want to end with this one. Being thorough, your thoroughness when you're helping someone. Well, how important is being thorough?
Yes, it's important to be thorough, you know, because, you know, if a person is coming to you, you know, being thorough to me would mean just being, you know, upfront, you know, just having some integrity about what it is that I'm doing. So if one is coming to me, you know, I want to be thorough. And also the Bible tells us in all thy getting, we need to get an understanding. So if I'm going to be thorough about what it is that you need me to help you to do, I want to put everything out and on the table. Yes, I'm going to help you. I'm going to be there for you. I'm going to do this for you. You know, because even as Christians, you know, that don't mean that we got to be stupid or that we got to, you know, be a pushover or what have you. But you still got to be, you got to be thorough and you got to be upfront, you know. Put it all on the table. This is what I'm going to do and this is how I'm going to do it. This is what I'm not going to do and this is what I'm not going to keep on doing. So, you know, you just have to be thorough. Make it plain, you know, make it clear that this is where we are and what we're going to do and how we're going to do it, you know, because sometimes you got to make some things plain as ABC 1, 2, 3 for some people, because sometimes people think that because you are a Christian or you are a woman of God, that means that you, you know, that they think that you're naive or that they can, you know, just get over on you. But no, you know, we're just going to be thorough and we're just going to put this thing on the table and we're just going to keep it 100, as the young people say. We're just going to keep it 100.
Absolutely, Pastor Kim. Absolutely. Shantice, being thorough is something that is a key component as far as the experts say. What do you say?
I agree. And Pastor Kim touched on how I am a lot of the time to what I was going to say. We're going to let it be known that this is Jesus because I just don't like you that much. So when God needs me to do such and such for you, that already has to be a prayer. Don't make this harder, okay? I'm going to need you to understand how much he loves you, because if you continue to rely on this world that you still trying to fit in at 50, you ain't going to get nowhere. Ain't going to get nobody to help you. It's his love that's helping you. So nowadays, you do have to really be thorough because, like Pastor Kim said too, especially when you're a Christian, they're just thinking, oh, I love everyone like God loves all his children, and I'll just do this for you, and I'll give you my last dollar, and, you know, I'll bring groceries to your house, and I'll just blindly do all these things to help you because I say that I'm a child of God. Yeah, no. You have to remember that God is still working on me. So we have to put all this out there and just let it be, again, like what's that, set the tone and the standards, because God puts the ball in our court. Yes, I need you to do this, but I need you to let the tone be known. I need you to let the standards be known. Okay, this is how this is going to go. You're not about to need God, and now you're going to tell God how this is going to go. No. These are the terms. So you have to make sure you explain everything, because people will just, again, be smacking you from all directions and have you twisted. Meanwhile, God sent you to help them, but now they got you twisted. No, you got to make sure you thoroughly put everything out there, humbly and gently, because the Bible says so, but making sure you put it out there.
All right. Elder Nitesha, you got the final word today. What's your word on being thorough when you're helping somebody?
I think, you know, again, I'm off of defining words, and that's the word thorough is defined as seeing something to completion, right? It's the ability to be able to know that what I'm offering, I'm able to see it through completion. And I think as Christians, you know, we often think, okay, this is, you know, this one-time gift. and then I'm done with you, right? I've helped you. I've done my part because I prayed for you that one time. I went to your house that one time and counseled you. But we have to be able to suffer along with an individual, right, if God calls us to that. And I think capacity, again, belongs as part of the conversation because it's two different things to say, you know, can I do it? But then the question is, should you do it? Is this your assignment? Is this what God is calling you for, right? I can do all things through Christ. That I can probably move my couch, but should I move my couch if Greg is upstairs? I'm not moving his couch, Greg. I mean, you have a greater capacity than I do to move this couch. Now, can I do it? I could, potentially. It's going to take me longer. I'm going to have to use some other part. I'm going to have to move my legs one time, use my arms another time. And can I do it? I probably can. But should I do it is where wisdom comes in. God gives us wisdom to go along with every biblical principle that exists. He also gives us wisdom that goes along with that biblical principle. And being thorough is our ability to identify the wisdom that goes along with the principles that are written out for us through his word. If we just simply call out scripture and just pull out scripture, taking scripture out of context, and just applying these scriptures and using them and flinging them around without a solid foundation of wisdom and understanding and knowledge of what God is saying is appropriate for you to help another, that is how you are thorough. It's understanding your capacity, understanding your ability, and understanding whether this is your assignment. And when it's your assignment, that means God has given you the capacity to do it. And when God has given you the capacity to do it, you can see it to completion. You can be thorough with it. You can show up for that person. You can say yes sometimes and no other times. Why? Because all of that is a part of the help. Don't think help means I got to do all the time. Part of the process is sometimes I say yes because God wants to show you through me that he loves you, he cares for you, and he's present. But there are other times where God will lead us to say no. Why? Because God says, I want you now to increase your own strength, to increase your own capacity, to trust in me, to pull on me for yourself. So sometimes we have to say no in order to step out of the way so that God can do what God needs to do. Completion, thorough. It is our ability to understand the assignment. It's our ability to understand the assignment and the part we play in the assignment by the word of God, the wisdom of God, and through the application of correctly utilizing God's word to lead us and guide us on what and on how to do it.
Amen. Amen, ladies. Thank you so much for your contribution into this conversation, and we just pray that you continue to have a blessed day.
Thank you. Have a blessed day, ladies.
Thank you. Have a good day.
God bless you all. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you. Oh, we are so grateful to have Pastor Kim, Elder Nitesha, and Shantice to feed us today. And, you know, God is good because, you know, thinking about breaking up this group here is killing me. We got caught off guard last week. And, you know, but God always does what he does in a great and thorough manner. So we really give God thanks for all of the ladies. And when I don't hear, you know, their voice, I just go through some level of withdrawal. And, I give God thanks for their willingness. That's really big. And we're talking about helping one another, and they really, they get on board every Wednesday to help, to do God's work. So thank you so much. Thank you so much. Oh, we cannot finish a Wednesday morning without having a final word from our Pastor Charlene. So let's say good morning to Pastor Charlene. Good morning, Pastor Charlene. How are you today?
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you today? I'm doing well.
Good, good. I'm well, thank you. You know, we're talking about doing things, helping others. Let's be more specific, helping others the right way. And a lot of times, you know, there's a fear of doing, because we're afraid that we won't do it the right way. But let's talk about having that faith even during this time of our life in our ministry. What you got for us today?
Yes, even though that we have the fear within us, but we know God is stronger. So he says within our weaknesses, we are stronger in him. So we want to be able for us to believe and trust in him and walk in that faith, because we walk by faith and not by sight. So therefore, even though when we are trying to pull our way and help someone along the way, that we are able to keep them where we walk side by side. That's where you have to do the disciple when the Lord sent them out, when God sent them out two by two, where that we will walk together and we will pray for one another, and where you're going to be weak, I might be strong, where you're, you know, and vice versa. So where that we are able to walk and help each other. Fear is something that we have that we allow the flesh to come upon. But if we continue to pray and continue to ask God to take it away, you know, and we walk, and once again, it's like a teamwork, you know, when you're with someone else, because you might have came through where they are in, you know, and a lot of times that's where you're able to minister to them and being able to tell them how you made it through, you know, and not leave them behind. I'm a firm believer of not leaving no one behind. You know, so when we have that faith and being able to let them know, it took me to where, as I was just speaking, of like a baby, when you're teaching them how to walk, for example, and they're fearful and they wobbling, and, you know, and you say, come on, you can do it. You can do it. You pick them up by their hands and they're standing. And as they walk in, you're walking with them. You know, because you're walking backwards and they're walking towards you. And as you're doing that, they get stronger. They get more confidence. Then now you're able to let go one hand. As you let go that one hand, now they're walking a little bit more. So you let go, so they might slip, but you catch them and you're able to lift them back up. And it's the same thing that we do with our brothers and sisters, as when they are trying to help one another. You're able to walk with them. And now once you start to let them go, now they're able to walk on their own. Now you teach them how to jog in it. And now as they jog in it, now they're able to run. And now they're able to go back to help someone else along the way. So it's just the same way of having that fear at first. But now you know that you got me. And that's the same way God has us. He has us. So we continue to walk in that faith. And now we know. And as we're walking, we're getting stronger and stronger. And that's the way that you're able to show somebody that you are helping them the right way. I got you. I'll be right here when you cry. I'll be right there with you. When you're in that place, I'm able to be that ear that I'm able to hear for, you know, be the ear. And you're able to talk to me. But sometimes when you're going through that and needing that help through somebody, it's not going to be the same way. I think one of my sisters has said that you, it's not going to be the same direction of how you need help as how do they need it. Because we all learned how to walk different ways, how to tie our shoe different, how to be able to have ministry, you know, ministries are all different, because it's how God leads you. So you got to make sure first that you're hearing how God and asking God, how can I help this person? And as you speaking to the Lord about it, and then you ask them the same way, how can I help you being able to be better and to be able to conquer whatever that you're going through?
All right. And amen, Pastor Sharlene. Thank you so much for that faith over fear view. And we give you thanks and we give God thanks. And we pray that you have a blessed day.
You do the same and everyone else too. Bless you.
Yeah, thank you. Let's get that benediction today. We have Romans 15, 5 and 6. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You know, when I glanced past this last night, I was like, oh, I love this, because I thought about this issue of helping people, helping one another. And, you know, we seem to think that when we help one another, we can do it any way we want to. But one of the things that we have to remember is, you know, we've been called upon to help. You know, they don't. These people just don't stumble across our feet. We just don't stumble across them. It's a divine, you know, connection that's been made for us to help one another. And I think about the Due Time crew, and I think about how, you know, when God gave the concept of this morning broadcast and ministry. And who, you know, who was already chosen? Who was already chosen to be a part of this Due Time crew? You know, I had some, you know, some friends that I reached back for, and there were some sisters from the evening broadcast that I reached back for. There was some, you know, someone I had recently met that I reached for, and, you know, there were others that were sent my way. But it was all to help this ministry. It was all to help me. And I think about, you know, what were they thinking when they were called? Whether, you know, you want to look at it as they were called by Stephanie, or when they understood that they were called by God. Because in order to do what they do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, whether they come on one time a week or whether they're on twice a week or up to four times a week, you had to understand that it wasn't just ministry, but it was to help. And you can tell that they put everything that they've got into this. They don't come with reservation. They don't come dragging. They don't come, you know, hesitant. Nah, not this group. Not this group at all. They bring passion. They bring knowledge. They bring experience. They bring wisdom. They bring it. And it's a lot to be said for how we aid people. When we're called, you know, Shantice mentioned something. You know, when we're called to help someone, are we answering or responding dragging our feet, hesitant, reluctant? How are we going forward with that? You know, I have told, you know, people at times, you know, when they say, well, you know, can you do such and such a thing? And it has something to do with the ministry, you know, speak somewhere or do whatever, you know, and they'll say, you know, well, you know, if you don't want to, if you don't have the time,
And I'm saying, but you don't understand, you know, the way God has given me this thing is when someone calls on you, it's not them who's calling on you. It's actually God who's calling on you. You are answering to God. And that's any level of help, whether you're helping a homeless person, whether you're helping a sister or brother in the church, whether you're helping a family member, regardless of who it is, coworker, friend, boss. And a lot of times we're reluctant to help because we don't have time or, you know, we just aren't in the mood or whatever the situation is. But when I came across, you know, this caption, do it the right way when helping others, it really jumped out at me because it really made me think about our heart, our mind, and our spirit. How are we doing this thing? How, you know, is it like you should be lucky? You know, you should be grateful. We have to be real careful how we approach helping someone, because we would not be where we are now if someone didn't help us. And, you know, I hear quite often, especially from the younger generation, you know, I don't want to ask it. I like asking. You know, I want to do it myself. And, you know, that's why I like to ask anybody. And I had to say to someone recently, well, if you think that asking is just for the young, then you better think again. Because there were times I have to ask someone to help me get up on a step. And I'm 55. You in life will never stop needing. You will never stop needing help. I don't care how small or how large. You will never stop needing help. And God is not coming down from his throne to sit beside you to let you know that it's him who's doing this thing. He's sending humans to help you. He's sending your brother, your sister to help you. And your attitude in helping someone is important. What are we saying to God when he has tapped us on the shoulder to help someone and we don't have that right attitude? Do it the right way. The right way is what matters. It matters that we're competent. He doesn't send someone incompetent to do the job that he needs done. He doesn't send that unreliable individual. He doesn't send that weak person to get the job done. You know, are you in a weakened state at that point? That's a difference. There's a difference between just being weak and just being weak at that point. And sometimes God will do things to help to strengthen us. And that's why we have to really pitch into this helping thing, because who is the help really for? Oh, it's not just for the one we're helping, but it is also for us. So don't miss your opportunity to be not just a blessing, but to be blessed. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m., where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As we go through the day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth, because they will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my ladies, my Due Time crew, for all is coming through big time. Thank you for hanging out with us today and helping us do what we do. Please do not miss the opportunity right now to accept Jesus as your personal Savior, because later is not promised to us. Until tomorrow, with Therapeutic Thursday, God spares our life. I love you.